So let's jump into the sermon this morning. So we are continuing on with our series. We are in the Psalms. And this morning we're going to be talking about Psalms of Thanksgiving. So I hope you've found this time studying the Psalms encouraging, enlightening. Maybe you're learning things that you never knew before about the Psalms. And these Psalms in particular are very unique. I'll give you a basic definition that Psalms of Thanksgiving are Psalms that show gratitude to God. God's kindness is evident in every aspect of creation and in the love he shows his people. Throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to be thankful in all circumstances. That's probably most notable if we were to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 14. It begins, "We urge you, brethren, to," and then I'm going to jump to verse 16, "rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Did you hear it? This is God's will for you. To be thankful. So we're going to take a little bit of time to unpack that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you open them up to Psalm 66? This is one of many Psalms of Thanksgiving. And I think it demonstrates quite a bit about Thanksgiving. It's going to teach us more than I think you're aware. We begin in verse 1, "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you, and all will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. They let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. This is the word of our Lord." So this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's to teach us why we are to be thankful. And I think to do that, the best way to approach that is to unpack this by looking at different sections. And here's why. If we were to look at Psalm 66, we're going to see three things happen. And I want you to catch these as we go through it. It's going to demonstrate that God is a God of all, number one. That he is a God of many, and he is a God of one. This Thanksgiving psalm, in which the focus sharpens from corporate praise to which the whole earth is summoned by an Israel celebrating its redemption, down to the thanks of one individual who brings his offerings and summons the faithful to listen to his story, which is a miniature of theirs. So this is a story within a story. So to help us do that, let's take a look at what the psalmist is saying. If we look at verses 1 through 4, the psalmist is saying that the whole world should be thankful. We begin with verse 1, shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Well, there it is. Right there. Remember, I've said through the Psalms that so many of these Psalms, right in the first few verses, set the tone for what follows. And here the psalmist is saying, he's beginning with the whole earth to shout joyfully to God and to sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Psalmist is telling everyone, say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of your greatness and your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you. The psalmist is saying simply, look, God created this earth. He created you. It said we're knitted together in our mother's womb. Whether you believe that or not doesn't make a difference. That's the fact. And so the psalmist is saying, earth, pay attention. You need to give thanks and be thankful. But then the psalmist shifts. And he takes it, the perspective goes from looking at the whole earth down to a nation, and that nation is Israel. And the psalmist tells a story very quickly. He says in verse 5, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Now, we're reading the Bible chronologically this year. That was a reference back to Exodus. So when the psalmist says, he turned the sea into dry land, that is when Moses was leading the slaves out of Egypt, and God parts the Red Sea. And they're able to escape on dry land. So the psalmist is giving thanks for that. He's giving thanks for something that occurred in the past. And he also says they passed through the river on foot. So when Joshua was leading the slaves into the promised land, they're finally reaching it. But they have to cross the Jordan River. And again, God parts the water so that they can go across on dry ground. The psalmist is giving thanks for these events. And he says, there, meaning in the past, what you have done, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. What the psalmist is saying is that the story of God saving Israel is not some story to be forgotten because it's in the Old Testament. I've shared with you that there are churches out there that are starting to say, well, we really don't need to study the Old Testament because everything goes back to Jesus, and so therefore we only need to look at the New Testament. All of Scripture needs to be studied and understood. Here's the point. You're going to be spending, if you're reading the Bible along with us chronologically, you're going to be spending roughly 8 months in the Old Testament. That should say something right there. This entire sermon series is on the Psalms. And where are they located? The Old Testament. The point is, through all of this, that the story represents the continual saving grace of God for his children. We need to be thankful for God's grace throughout all of history. The Old Testament and the New Testament continue with what we call a meta-narrative. The saving grace of God. He continually calls his children home to him. But listen to what the psalmist does next. In verses 8 through 12, he talks about how we are to be thankful in the trials. And he uses the trials of Israel as an example. In verse 8, he says, bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad. So he's saying, be thankful. Who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. Let's pause there. Silver being refined is not a fun process. When we refine metals, the refinery takes place under incredible heat and pressure. There's if it were alive, if metal were alive, it would suffer in that process. That's the whole point. When God is refining us, oftentimes it's like being refined metal. It's a process, and it will not be fun. It occurs under tremendous pressure. And the psalmist is saying, be thankful for that. Because he brought us out into the net, you laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. And listen to this, you made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Does any of that sound fun? You made men ride over our heads. Who wants to sign up for that program? But the truth is, the psalmist is saying we need to give thanks for that. Israel, and he's pointing to Israel, he's reminding Israel of that. He's saying, look, we went through this. Hello, nation, are you paying attention? God led us through that. We need to be thankful because we came out of it. So the psalmist is pointing back to their trials and their tribulations. And listen to what he says next. He says, yet. Remember, I've told you when you're reading scripture and you see the word but, to pay attention. Because whenever you see a but in scripture, that means whatever follows is important. There's going to be a change of thought there. Yet is another one of those words. Because the psalmist is saying we had all this horrible stuff happen, yet, and listen to what he says, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. You hear the shift? The psalmist is giving thanks. Here's what the psalmist is telling us in this passage, that we need to develop a biblical habit of seeing the hand of God in all events. The suffering is just as meaningful as the deliverance. Let me say that one again. The suffering is just as meaningful as the deliverance. As a pastor, so often you get asked, why does a good God allow bad things to happen? Church, that's not an easy question to answer. It happens for a lot of different reasons. You can't point to one thing and say, well, here it is. But in the case of the psalmist, in this psalm, in Psalm 66, what he's saying is, Israel, we went through all of this suffering, and God has remained faithful. Thank him for that. And he's pointing back to that. One effect of this experience, what I mean by that is the trial, the suffering and the deliverance, is already visible in the confession that we enjoy life and security by gift and not by right. By gift. Your life is a gift. None of us said, you know what, God? I want to be created. I want to be 6 feet tall. By middle age, I want to be a little bit overweight. Nobody asked for that. I certainly didn't. My point is, I say that jokingly, but none of us asked to be created. We had no choice in that. This life is a gift. It's not a right. Any one of us could have been born in a different country, different color, different sex. But God chose you to be created in the form that you are right here, right now, today, for a purpose and a reason. And you need to be thankful for that, church. This life is a gift. When we hit the next passage, when we look at verses 13 through 15, the psalmist is going to shift once again. When we started, we were looking at the whole earth. And then he transitioned, and we were looking at Israel. Now, we're going to look at an individual. It begins in verse 13. I shall come into your house. Do you hear that? I. This is personal now. This is the psalmist. He's saying, God, I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows. He's thanking God. He's worshiping. And he's saying, My lips have uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. These are things that are pleasing to the Old Testament God. And I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. This is about individual worship. Church, you need to catch this. The psalmist is saying, Earth, wake up. You need to worship God. Israel. Let me put that in modern terms. Church. Church. You need to worship corporately. But at the end of the day, we have to worship as individuals. Because just as God cares for his nation, his church, he cares for the individual. Not one child will be left behind. Not one. So we need to remember that, church. And then the psalmist makes one last transition. In verses 16 through 20, he tells his story. Listen to how he does it. In verse 16, he says, come in here. Already there's an introduction, there's an invitation there. Come in here, all who fear God. He's calling to those that are faithful. And I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. The psalmist's come and hear address corresponds to Israel's come and see address that we just read back in verse 5. What's interesting, back in verse 5, when the psalmist says to Israel, Israel says, come and see, it's Israel that's inviting the world. Come and see our God. In other words, they're evangelizing. Did you hear it? They're calling out to the rest of the world. Come and see our God. And now, the psalmist is saying, come and hear. Come and hear about my God. The psalmist is giving his testimony. Do you hear it? When I cried out, psalmist is telling how much pain he endured. And he's going to share it with people. Come here. Church, we have to do that. If we want this church to grow, we have to represent what's been laid before us. We need to share our testimony. Everybody in this room has a testimony, and it is unique and precious to you. Guess what? I'm only going to reach a small demographic of people. I can only relate to so many different kinds of people. But as I look through this audience, we have people from many different backgrounds, many different origins. Along the way, you have suffered. You have endured certain trials, and you're going to be able to use those to share with others. You're going to be able to use your testimony to call to others, just as the psalmist is. The psalmist is giving thanks for what he endured. And in the process, it's going to invite other people, non-believers, into the church. That's a big, long teaser for what's coming. We're going to spend a couple weeks talking about evangelism. Don't let that scare you. I assure you it's not that bad. Probably not even what you're thinking. So just stay with me. So the psalmist has taught us how to give thanks. I think this psalm is pretty self-explanatory. We don't have to unpack it verse by verse like we've done in the past. It's being thankful, but it's being thankful in all circumstances. That's the key to this psalm. I want to read to you a story of thankfulness and what it would sound like in modern times. Maybe of you, many, let me try that again. Maybe some of you have heard of the author Corrie Ten Boom. And I want you to hear her story, at least a portion of it. Corrie Ten Boom grew up in a devoutly religious family in the Netherlands. During World War II, she and her family harbored hundreds of Jews to protect them from arrest by Nazi authorities. Betrayed by a fellow Dutch citizen, the entire family was imprisoned. Corrie Ten Boom tells of an incident that taught her always to be thankful. She and her sister, Betsy, had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had seen yet, Ravensbrück. Upon entering the barracks, she found them extremely overcrowded and flea-infested. One morning, their scripture reading in 1 Thessalonians 5 had reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Church, that was the verse that we opened up with this morning, was 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you going to say it's just coincidence that somewhere in the 1940s, a little girl who had been taken from her home read a passage that inspired her? One passage set her on a track. That's incredible. You're going to hear in just a second. But in 2020, we read that very same passage to inspire you to be thankful always. And here's why. When they were reading their devotions from 1 Thessalonians 5, Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted, and Corrie finally succumbed to her pleadings. Any of you have that sibling? Can you imagine that, being taken from your home as a little girl, you're removed from your family, you end up in a German concentration camp where there's almost certain death, and you've got a sister that's going, now you got to be thankful. It's unbelievable, right? That's the sibling you want to hit. But Corrie doesn't. I love her faithfulness. Listen to what she says. During the months spent at the camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without guard interference. It was not until several months later that they learned the reason the guards would not enter the barracks was because of the fleas. The very instrument of their suffering became a tool of their salvation. The guards wouldn't enter because they didn't want to get bitten by the fleas. Leave them people alone. But yet, that's the tool that God used to give them salvation. Well, Corrie returned to the Netherlands after the war and set up a rehabilitation center for concentration camp survivors. In her love for God, to which she was so devoted, she also took in those who had cooperated with the Germans during the occupation. Now, you want to talk about somebody who has faith. To take in people who had helped imprison you. That's a level of faith that I hope to grow to one day. That inspires me. And she says in 1946, she began a worldwide ministry that took her to more than 60 countries. She received many tributes, including being knighted by the Queen of the Netherlands. In 1971, she wrote a best-selling book of her experiences during World War II entitled The Hiding Place. I encourage you to read that. Listen to this. Corrie and her family were not Jews. They were Christians. They were Christians that were caught up in what the Germans were doing. Because they were harboring Jews, they too were imprisoned. This Christian family saved over 800 lives. Corey lost most of her family in this trial. Her sister Betsy, that's mentioned in the story, died just months after this particular event. So I have a question for you, church. What fleas are you thankful for? We need to be thankful for the fleas. It's really easy, isn't it, to be thankful when God blesses us and everything's going glorious. Well, that's really easy. Of course we can be thankful in those circumstances. But when God gives us fleas, are we thankful? I got to share something with you. I've had two people, different people, come into my office in the past couple weeks. I said, I just got to tell you this. I'm thankful for COVID-19. I'm thankful because it drew me closer to the Lord. It drew me closer to the community of Christ. I'm more engaged. Relationships are turning around. There's all sorts of growth. Their words, not mine, God blessed me with COVID-19. Their fleas were COVID-19. What are your fleas, church? What fleas are you going to be thankful for this week? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you so many thanks. For all of history, you have always pointed us back to you. You've given us faith and inspiration. You've given us salvation. You've given us more than what we deserve. Father, we're grateful and we're going to give thanks for the fleas in our lives. You use such weird objects, such obscure things to lead us to you. And we are so very, very grateful for it. It is a mystery of who you are and how you work. Thank you for that, Father. As we go forward this week, may every heart here be full. May we give you thanks every single day of this week for different things, especially the fleas in our life. Father, we ask that you hear these prayers, and we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll just let you know, just a reminder, we're going to take a 15-minute break, and then we're going to come back here. So if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please rise and hold out your hands like this? Church, you've heard an incredible story this morning, a psalmist who reminded us of the trials and tribulations of Israel. And Corey Ten Boom spoke to us this morning and told us a beautiful story about fleas. May that be written upon your heart. May you always remember that story. May it enrich you so when you hit the trials and tribulations in life, you remember to give thanks to your God. Find time every day this week. Say thank you to your God and be thankful in everything. Hug somebody, tell them you love them, and we'll see you back in 15 minutes.